B-Pod Studios.
I have something that's really important that I have to do, whether it's a big television show or a big presentation or whatever it is, and I have to be on my game. I do what Jerry told us to do. When you get confused, listen to the music play. And you get that music in your body, in your soul, and it carries you. And the sense of the future, the sense of looking forward, which was what the Grateful Dead are always all about, that is what carries us through the tough times. Just turn it on. And I'm so lucky that I've listened so much, I don't even have to turn it on anymore. It's just there.
First of all, if you were doing what if you were doing what Jerry Garcia would do, that would be eating yourself to death. But also, the Grateful Dead are always constantly looking forward as they trot around as old men playing the garbage that they've been playing for the last 40 years.
Clocks are running late.
I mean, boy, I'll tell you what, that is a man, Bill Walton, that enjoys himself some Grateful Dead. I mean, that is his entire personality is based around that garbage, schlocky band and stupid tie-dyes. My daughter made a tie-dye at camp. I had to throw it away. I said, you're better than that. Come on.
He is one of the four, five people that have been hung up on our show before.
He's been hung up on twice.
No.
Yes,
no.
Once in Atlanta and once here.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when he was on here, but this had nothing to do with him being a hippie or anything like that. It was, we had had him booked for like a month, and it just ended up being the same night that the Celtics in 2010, they got that right? They ended up losing in game seven against the Lakers. And so we had Bill Walton scheduled to come on the show, and he would not shut up about how proud he was of his son, Luke Walton. And Fred was just like, well, this is not what people want to hear this morning, and hung up on him. And I thought that was great, which, of course, a lot of the Lodge got very angry. And
I'll tell you, Shaughnessy did not like that. Shaughnessy thought that was very disrespectful.
He did not like that whatsoever.
How dare you disrespect the guy because he played basketball.
I love everything about what we're about to hear. And the number one thing is, if you didn't hear, Bill Walton sat in as a color commentator for the White Sox local broadcast. Now, the White Sox, they were playing, I think it was the Angels, White Sox Angels, both teams out of it. Like, there's no reason to watch this game.
Right.
I love the fact that when you've got a situation like that, that you throw in some sort of stunt. I don't care who it is, just someone completely random. To me, that is inspired. It's something that's necessary. And I believe also, it just came out with, I think that website Awful Announcing ranked all of the best broadcast teams. And I think this one's near the bottom. So you're like, everything sucks about what's going on with this team. And why was anyone watch? And then you get Bill Walton. Bill Walton's someone who, you can tell by some of these clips here, doesn't watch any baseball, doesn't really care about baseball, might not even know the rules of baseball.
Okay, is this the White Sox? Because they have that Hawk Harrelson.
So I think Hawk's gone. Last year was Hawk's year, right?
All right. I don't know.
I might be wrong about that. I think Hawk retired last year.
Okay.
Yeah, put it on the board. Yeah
because
that
I could
one.
Just imagine them butting heads. I don't think they would have the same political ideologies. I would imagine that one was not a fan of the other. All right.
Oh, by the way, just as an aside, you know who was number one in the voting for best broadcast team? That would be Don Orsillo out there with the Padres now.
Yeah.
But that's no one's surprises except for Larry Lucchino and all the rest of the people up there.
He couldn't have handled Eck in the box. It would just in the booth. It would just be too much for him. All right.
So let's get to Bill Walton sitting in on this game and doing the things that Bill Walton does.
The look of
fear, the look of terror, the look of apprehension, the fear of reluctance, the fear of what did I think of when I asked this guy, this crazed lunatic, to come and be a part of this sacred and sacrosanct show here tonight, where we get to call a Major League Baseball game between the White Sox and the Angels.
Well,
at the park, at the Diamond, with the waterfall in the background, with Mount Baldy in the distance, the San Gabriel Mountains. What more could we ask for?
This is like the Oscars.
We've got a game. Ozzy is here.
Ricky
is here.
What? Now, why are the other announcers freaking out?
Because they're going to commercial and he won't shut up.
Oh.
They're wrapping it up and he won't shut up with this soliloquy about the Golden Mountains and the fake waterfall. In the fake water. I mean, they're literally going to commercial. Like, everything's thrown up. They're like, dude, shut up.
Yeah, well,
you should know this.
Yeah, he's got his own music in his head. He doesn't have time for this. He only listens.
That's what he thought it was.
It's too. The music's too good. He can't relate to it.
That's a real Grateful Dead song.
It's funny. It is. That was when they were going for a hit. The record label said, fellas, give me a hit. Yeah.
You got the big cigars like, yeah, I like what I'm hearing.
Arabian wind, more like Arabian, make me some money.
How long's that song? Oh, a nice mere 11 minutes and 26 seconds.
Put it on the old
wax.
Yep. What was that building in the in New York back in the day where they wrote all the songs? The Brill Building. No, the Brill Building. Give me the kids in the Brill Building. They got a new one for you. All right, we continue.
The stairs are coming in on the stage. The stairs are coming in. We gotta go.
I say happy birthday in Spanish. Feliz cumpleaños.
I'm ready to play. Mi español es muy malo. Perdón. Cerveza fría.
Oh,
cerveza fría.
We need that here.
See, okay, Ozzy, here we go. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It takes a lot to not let you even say a word. Bill Walton said everything. You couldn't even get a word in.
All right.
Well, how strange is that? Why will they not let you call part of a Celtics game, Fred?
Because obviously I'm just too much of a shock jock.
I mean, Gorman wanted it to happen.
Gorman and Scal both wanted it to happen. I was willing to pay my way.
This stuff works. People talk about it.
Yep. I mean, I would have gone out there. I would have known what the hell I was talking about, but I could go off on tangents. Don't worry about it.
Apparently you need to wear a tie-dye shirt for it to work.
Yeah, Walton. All right, so Walton not really down with the rules of baseball, you're telling me?
No.
All right, here is Walton talking about a foul ball.
It was 2 hours, 56 minutes, and the Sox came back in the ninth and nearly won.
Yeah! Oh, wrong direction. Sorry. But, oh, yes, go! Over the fence, come on! Please! Oh,
Upton
man!
Makes the catch.
So close.
It is national...
By the way, nowhere near the fence. Nowhere near the fence.
He had to run in to get the ball.
Yeah, he had to run in to get the ball. And he's like, whoa! Sorry. Nowhere near it.
Wow, that's high! Bill, what's your when you get up? What's your plate music? All right, everybody, it's time to get annoyed.
But, oh yes, go over the fence! Come on, please.
Oh,
Upton
man,
makes the catch.
So close.
It is a national roller coaster.
Now?
One out for Upton, and a double play would be nice here.
How about a triple play?
Well, with one out, it'd be difficult.
Well, you can carry it over, can't you?
See, that's a rule. That's a rule I'd like to see instituted.
Carry over.
Yeah,
I'd love carry over. Yeah.
All right. Here he is talking about James McCann.
Yeah.
away. There's a base
hit. We're on our way.
That's your guy,
Print
James McCann.
Banner. Is that the catcher?
It is.
I tell you, I'm not a very good catcher. I'm much better at getting high than getting low. And the way those guys squat down there, man. But, you know, Thurman Munson, John Roseborough.
What? I'm much better at getting higher than lower.
Get it?
Get it? Yes. That's what I thought I was going to say. I'm a pitcher.
Yeah.
I'm dominant. Mm-hmm. I'm a Dominic. All right. And finally, this is his theory on pitching.
When they bring that high, hard one in, I stand in and lean back and then just bam. And it sails away out through the universe like a radio wave that goes past Saturn and Jupiter, Pluto, through the black hole, and into many other galaxies yet named.
All right, well, he's the worst.
Dude, come on. You would... If he did a Red Sox game, it would be glorious.
Yeah, just because we have something to make fun of.
Yeah, Eckersley just would suffer no fools, though. I have a weird feeling.
No, he would be playing the dead, and Eckersley would just keep pumping up Loverboy until it was an all-out.
Right.
Yeah, he would look at Walton's van, and he would just pull up next to it in his Camaro, and just go, vroom, vroom.
Bango.
That's right. Let's put in 4-4. No. Little jukebox hero for that ass.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he would kindly invite him in to, maybe smoke a doobie.
Oh, man. Maybe they'd bond over that.
Hey, Eck, you want to come in the van?
Wow.
Dave, hey, look, he's got a bunch of blacklight photos of mushrooms.
You got to go, bro.
All right, very good. We'll be right back.
A C-note.
The bat. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And, by the way, I just was reading something that Dan sent us about Julian Edelman, and he is partnered up with a guy, and they are going to take the entertainment world by storm. And so he said he had this guy, and the guy goes, I've always been intrigued with acting. Asaf came up to me one day and asked what I liked doing in my spare time. I like watching the Food Network. He goes, what do you cook every day? I really don't cook that much, but I make smoothies every day. He said, why don't we make a smoothie cooking show? So we made Smoothie Time. That sounds like these are like the guys who made The Godfather. I mean, this is, let's make something called Smoothie Time.
I remember when he made that. And I remember...
Was it hysterical?
Well, I remember watching it and thinking, okay, that was kind of his first foray. This was before the police video that he made with Danny Amendola and all this. This was kind of one of his first things. And watching it and going, other than time being spelled T-Y-M-E, I couldn't quite figure out like where the joke was or what the point was.
I don't think it was intended to be a joke. I just think that...
No, I think it was. I think it was
that's always a good thing. When you can't... When it's something supposed to be funny and you can't find the even the angle... Doesn't speak well for Smoothie Time.
It was strange. And you know, in fairness, I kind of understood what they were trying to do with, like, the police officer one, even though, you know, they're trying to show that they're buddies and they can skate and, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
But this one was...
You understand how that was supposed to be funny in theory.
In theory. In theory, I understand what they were going for. This was just... It was him making a smoothie, but it was kind of almost with, like, a wink and a nod. And time was spelled differently. It was weird. And I'm looking at it right now. I just pulled it back up. It was back in 2014 that he made it. So, I mean, he's still somewhat early in his career, but enough to be a star. And it has 259,000 views. I mean, I don't know if that's good or it's bad for someone as famous as him. I don't know. But it's being used as kind of like the beginning of the genius. You know, yes. This is kind of being looked back in this article that I read as being like, oh, we all remember Smoothie Time.
Yeah, this is
took
like,
the world by storm.
Yeah, this is like, you know, the Beatles' first record. Like, you know,
right.
They were finding their footing.
It's kind of spoken with reverence in this article. And and I don't quite know if that's the thing that really made them gel, him and this filmmaker, and I guess they're going to continue to do more projects. So he's also the guy that was behind the documentary that he just made, which, of course, we've talked about that, which is interesting. But he wants to be a movie star, it sounds like, from this article.
Well, maybe not a star, Rich, but he certainly wants to be at least a supporting actor.
Well, he's making a TV show based on his life.
Which is about an up-and-coming football player.
Yeah, he's shopping a TV series based on Edelman's rookie season, which he said was nothing at all like HBO's Ballers or a current wild off-the-field life that he regularly shows on Instagram.
Yeah, I would imagine the appeal of Ballers is that it focuses on the wild off-the-field life of people.
You know what? As much as we kill Julian Edelman, I wouldn't mind watching a show about the other side of the NFL that's not glamorous, like the guys who are kind of scrapping around and nobody recognizes. And as long as the team had some kind of funny superstars you can kind of mock and laugh at, like, you know, the people who would be the Tom Brady type character, you know, who
Dallas 40.
yeah. Kind of like North Dallas 40, but a new version of that. If the writers were good, I'd actually watch that. The concept isn't awful, but the fact that the guy who made Smoothie Time is in charge of it puts the quality in doubt, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like uncharted territory.
No, it does not.
But he also wants to make a rom-com, but he don't want to star in it. He just wants to make a rom-com. So he's got those ideas. But one thing I will tell you, and I'm not being sarcastic, is that he's got JE11 yarmulkes for sale, which I'm not kidding. Those sell like hotcakes, I would imagine.
There's no question. And I mean, as I said, whereas 2 years ago, I was joking about JE11. Hell, everyone was. I think it might have been Chris Long, who, you know, was joking that he was the only one who came up with his own logo. You know, he's trying to be Tom Brady. It was his own teammates were mocking him for it. You know, we're the dummies now because I see JE11 stuff all over the place.
Yeah, that makes one of us.
It's true. Go to any sporting event here in town, and you're going to see JE11 stuff. I mean, it's everywhere, dare I say. And the pop-up shop, which I laughed at, he's selling like a skateboard that says JE11 on it for like $400 or whatever it was. I mean, outside of that, the T-shirts, the hats, there's tons of them. And that
you
is
must
to
be
my
hanging
surprise.
Out, hanging out with some douches.
No, just sporting events. Go to any sporting event and, you know, talk to Bird. You know, Bird is at Fenway all the time. I guarantee you he sees JE11 stuff all the time over at Fenway. You go to a Celtics game, a Bruins game, you're going to see JE11 stuff. The chances that you see him are almost 100% if you go to a sporting event in town.
All right. So you're saying he has a brand that is popular in Boston?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Now, internationally or nationally, who knows? But sure as hell around here, it does really, really well, which is strange, but, you know.
I'm not positive how well it does.
I'm telling you, just go to a game. Go to any kind of sporting event.
I mean, I do go to sporting events.
Go to a sports
often.
Bar.
Often. I don't recall being overwhelmed by JE11 stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're there. And maybe it's because you're not looking for it. But if you went and you said, I'm going to look for it, trust me, you would see it.
Well, I do think the yarmulkes are ingenious because he is a Jewish athlete.
Yep.
And B, oftentimes the homemade sports yarmulkes come off as very amateurish. They, you know, like if you got a baseball on there, but like grandma knitted it, not so great. But an official, like it's a slick one too.
Like, oh, it's, yeah, it looks
it's
nice.
Yeah, it's not like made of yarn. It's got. I think that is ingenious. Because you're a Jewish football player. You make the yarmulke, the kids are going to wear it.
No question.
I'll tell you that. Camp Young Judea, set up a pop-up shop there.
There you go.
Get it going. All right. Joe Murray, you were not wild about Gordon being back on the Patriots.
Yeah. It was announced. He was reinstated this weekend, and a lot of people are excited. And I know I'm a weed guy. I you know, I root for the guys. I think they don't get a fair shake here in the NFL. Just the one thing with the Jordan the Josh Gordon stuff, and I'm sure we'll get to it in a little bit here. But the number one thing, just surprised on how Roger Goodell handled it and just some of his comments on it. And it looks like they're, you know, they're going to give him a chance, and they're being a little bit more lenient when it comes to marijuana in the NFL. And I'm not saying that that's what he was, you know, in trouble for last year. You know, reports say that it wasn't marijuana, but they're giving him another chance. And just personally, last year they gave him a chance. It didn't work out. He bailed on the team when they needed him the most, with two games remaining in the regular season, and they went 5-0 without him last year. And to me, I just think it's a huge distraction. And they can take a flyer on it, but it's a flyer until he's suspended again.
All right. All right, we got to talk about this, because I couldn't disagree with you more. On top of that, Dan Shaughnessy said something this weekend, or tweeted something that was just, and I like Dan, utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous, involving Josh Gordon and Patriots fans. And I do want to get into all that, because there are some questions. And I like Jeff Howe. It was not his theory, but he threw something out there as to why this happened, the reinstatement, when it did. And I almost 100% believe the conspiracy theory.
All right. 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Ridd.
Hello, boys and girls.
There were two things that I remember being
like must-see television.
Toucher and Rich on Twitch TV. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even want to talk about the first half, I do want to bring up Josh Gordon, because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right. Good luck in the second half.
No.
Go home and get your shine box.
985.
Back every break with that clip. I want to hear that 20 more times this morning.
Because he doesn't even get the first part out right. What does he say, Dan? He says, rejoining me now. All right. So Josh Gordon has been allowed to play football again. And I actually agree with Joe Murray on this. I think that weed should be legal. I have no idea at all why the NFL tests for it. I mean, it just is a waste of time and does nothing but get negative press and hurt the product on the field. And if people want to smoke weed, they should be able to smoke weed. However, Josh Gordon, what is this, Joe? His seventh chance?
Six, seven, I don't know.
Or seventh chance. I mean, he let the team down last year. He was irresponsible, completely irresponsible. I don't care if it was you're not allowed to wear, you know, a yellow tie. I mean, you know, you got to stay within the parameters of what the league allows in order to play. I understand once, twice. But this is a guy, and now, as you said, this is a big distraction.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, how is it a distraction? Because wasn't it a distraction when they got him last year? If there was going to be a distraction, it would have been when he joined the team last year.
They were undefeated without him.
They needed them last year. The wide receiver position, they absolutely needed them last year. The thing is this, Rich. You have to look at it as when he came in here, he had some great games, right? A couple of 100-yard games. But Brady was looking at him too much. Like, he was focused. They were actually game planning with Josh Gordon, the most unreliable player in all of football. And when it came down to it, there was that Miami game. He had one catch for 19 yards. Brady kept looking at him. Sorry, that Pittsburgh game. Brady kept looking at him. They had to go away from that and change their whole entire game. They started basing their offense on running the football and playing defense. That's what won them a championship last year. It had nothing to do with Josh Gordon.
Oh, okay. If you're saying he is going to be a liability because they rely on him too much for football reasons, that's two different things. And that there might be some truth to that, because you're right. They were really just overfeeding him for a while. Statistically, I think that Tom Brady threw for, I think it was something like 50 more yards per game when Josh Gordon was on the field last year.
He had some of the most yards per catch.
Yeah. So, I mean,
per reception.
Obviously, and I think that any team with Josh Gordon, for the most part, on paper, is going to be better than a team without him if he's playing up to his potential. But to say that he would be a distraction, how many things have we seen come into this organization that we all thought were going to be distractions, and it just didn't matter? Any other organization outside of the Patriots, maybe you could say that. But if it wasn't a distraction last year, It's not going to be a distraction this year. Matter of fact, it would be less of any sort of distraction if there was at all, because now at least they know him, they're familiar with him, and they're able to throw him right back into the system a lot easier
and
than
and
they
how
were before.
Confident are you that he's going to play the entire season?
I'm not. I'm not. But
and that's
but
the problem.
I mean, no one would be confident.
Right, and, exactly, and that's the problem.
But here's one, another thing, though. That well, first of all, I love what Jeff Howe was saying earlier. Now, this, once again, is not his opinion. He doesn't have any sort of inside information.
Yeah, don't get him in any hot water over this.
I'm looking out for my man, Jeff Howe.
So just, this is not how this... Pour cold water on this take.
That's right. This is me taking two dots and going, putting them right together and going, bam, I'm blowing your mind.
Rich at 98.5thesportshub.com, maybe.
But I thought it was interesting because he talked about this week and what's going on with the Patriots. And if you look at the beginning of the week, one of the first things that happened was the big news that Jay-Z ended up becoming a partner with the NFL. And in the process, that makes the NFL look, hey, you know that whole Colin Kaepernick, you know, racial, the kneeling situation. You know what? We're putting that behind us because now we got Jay-Z's seal of approval. And that is massive, massive for this league. And you don't think that that's something that for the past 2-3 years, however long this has been going on, that they have been dying for. I guarantee you this is something that the entire league has been like, if there's anything we can do about our perception, if somehow we can get a black leader, somebody in the black community,
an ex-drug dealer.
Well, that's what we're hearing now, which is hysterical. But I do like the fact that Robert Kraft apparently was one of the main people, because Jay-Z and him have been working together with all these other different causes.
He's
that
down
we're
with
hearing.
Everybody. From yeah, well, he's down with everybody in the rap.
It's true. You know, there, he's got no. the yeah. yeah, yeah you know, I mean,
he's down with Little Xan.
That he is. So, but the fact that
he actually squashed the beef between Nas and Jay-Z.
But you can,
hey fellas, come on.
The fact that you can look at Robert Kraft and point directly at him and say that he might be one of the reasons, I'm talking in the NFL's eyes, he might be one of the reasons that one of the worst stigmas that we've had for years might be going away a little bit. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, they, out of nowhere, get a reinstatement on a guy that they know could truly help their team, does make you go, I wonder if this was a little gift for this whole Jay-Z situation.
It's his rhyme or reason as anything else. I don't understand. I don't understand what the. I thought Josh Gordon was out of football. Like, my understanding was that he was just like he was like two suspensions ago. I thought he was done.
Okay, we
and
still
that was
don't,
like the rule.
We still don't know what this last suspension was over, right? There's been no definitive answer as to why, whether it was pot, which it was in the past, or if it was anything else. But I mean, the one thing that I will say is that. Dan Shaughnessy wrote something, tweeted something out on, I guess it was right after it happened. And he put, Pats fans, same folks who would be crushing Josh Gordon as a repeat offender and drug addict if you were reinstated to Kansas City, now sensitive and understanding. They sincerely care about Josh and hope he recovers his disease. Okay. First of all, saying Kansas City, hopefully he's not comparing a guy like Josh Gordon who got suspended for smoking pot, something that's legal here and is for the most part a victimless crime, and someone like Tyreek Hill, who reportedly assaulted a woman and a child. That is unbelievably misguided if that's what he's trying to do there. But I'm just going to assume, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and just think that he said Kansas City because it's a rival this year and a team that could be in the way of the Patriots winning. Because if it's the Tyreek thing, then that's just next level bat crap crazy. But the main thing I would say is that we, at least you and me, Fred, always thought the Josh Gordon suspensions were stupid, even when he was with the Browns.
Yeah.
Anyone who gets suspended for smoking pot.
Yes, I thought those were dumb. However, I do think that there comes a point. And I mean, he was late for, you know, practices. Yeah. He was late for
games.
He was
doing a commercial and didn't even go to practice.
Yeah, I mean,
he was on,
like,
the hot seat.
There's like some, like, I don't know what his issues are. And obviously, I don't want anything bad to happen to the guy. But I mean, he's wildly irresponsible. I mean, like, wildly irresponsible. And I mean, he screwed up last year. He messed up. Not, I don't even, whatever he got suspended for, he was late for games. He was missing practices. Let me see here. Mike Aru. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. What's going on? Yeah, just Josh Gordon and his suspension in general. You know, I think it's actually probably a good sign from the NFL that they're allowing people with substance abuse issues. Now, I know he's had plenty of chances, and the guy clearly is not just have substance abuse issues, but he is irresponsible, just like you said, Fred. But the fact that the NFL reinstated him just because he's got some substance abuse issues, in my opinion, is a good thing. I just can't believe like a guy like Tyreek Hill, you know, breaking a little kid's arm. That's like different level stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure. So there's no question about
more,
it.
And I think it's a little more lax. Josh on Gordon the guys with the drugs.
Josh that's Gordon right. should not be on his 6th or 7th suspension. I agree. What he got suspended for with weed, we all look. Anyone with an ounce of any ounce of sense would realize. Well, it's against the rules. Well, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? It's a kid, and he, you know, he smokes pot. But I do think that. I mean, he's take the drug away. He's just wildly irresponsible. Yeah.
Well, here's the other problem, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Joe, yep. is that the NFL hasn't given any kind of indication as to what the punishment is. Like, right. there's no standard. They're just making stuff up as they go.
Oh, absolutely.
So for someone like Josh Gordon, too, is there a last straw? Like, does anybody
no.
know?
No.
It just seems like they're completely just making this up on the
fly. I thought the last straw was like two. Didn't everyone think he was never going to play again? Is there anyone who thought he was going to play football again?
No, it was a shock. It was obviously a shock when he ended up coming to the Patriots.
And then he's like out for a year, and then he gets popped last season, and they're letting him come back. Like right away, kind of. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, they obviously won him, the Patriots. I mean, they, you know, they kept their options open with him.
Yeah, and my whole thing is, this is a flyer, right? He's going to make, what, $2 million if it hits? Great, great for the Patriots. It's a flyer until he gets suspended again. And listen, I think everybody is rooting for the best. They all want the best for Josh Gordon. Everybody wants that. The Patriots want it. Matt Slater even said it himself.
Yeah.
My thing is, listen, the whole thing is this. Are they actually going to run plays for this guy? Are they actually going to put him into the... Like, you can't depend on that. Bill Belichick has yet to even make a comment about Josh Gordon whatsoever.
They did last year. And he was, and you know what? He was effective. And I'm with you, Joe. They relied on him too much, but maybe they've learned their lesson. All I know is that the minute they announced that Josh Gordon was coming back, they were licking their chops. And I guarantee you Tom Brady's glad Josh Gordon is back. He practiced with him in the offseason. That's another thing. So, I mean, it's not like he doesn't want him back, and Bill Belichick does not want him back. Now, whether or not he puts on some sort of, you know, we don't like what you did, and, you know, you disappointed us, and doesn't start him or something like that as, you know, somewhat of a... I mean, you heard Bill Belichick's statement. He's still trying to make it like, well, you know, we hold everyone accountable here. But you know they're licking their chops to get this guy back out there. They need him. They need him right now.
I just want to bring this up. I was on over the weekend when this stuff came out, and this isn't me trying to have like an opposite take or who, you know, trying to have like, oh, the hot take guy, he's not happy with Josh Gordon. I just think the Patriots can win without him.
They did. And they got a receiver in the first round.
Yeah, and listen, like here, like they could still trade him. They could do multiple things with Josh Gordon this year. The biggest thing is this. If you're looking at the football field, last year they had Rob Gronkowski. You can go out and say that guy's not dependable either. Well, he played 13 games. They helped them win a Super Bowl. When the times mattered last year, Josh Gordon wasn't there. I just think, Rich, you mentioned the distractions. Tom Brady's contract will be the biggest distraction this year. The coaching staff, Nick Caserio, all that stuff will be a distraction. But the Josh Gordon stuff, week in and week out, it's always going to be, how's Josh Gordon? What, you know, you're always going to be wondering about Josh Gordon.
It was that way last year, and everything was fine.
Until he got suspended
at the worst time. They lost to Miami on the final play of the game and lost to Pittsburgh. And they were.
And it really did kill him, didn't it?
Well, listen, if the Texans didn't throw up all over their feet, the Patriots would have been a wild card team.
And the guy didn't jump off sides in the Kansas City game. Yeah,
no, know. They. But that's not, they didn't have him when they won. So the thing is that I mean, it counter, you're making fun of it, but it counters the point.
They won 5-0 without Josh Gordon last year.
Yeah,
they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, against very good teams. So I mean,
isn't like a hot take. They went 5-0 without him.
No, whether they need him or not, whether they need him or not, a different question. But whether he'll be a distraction is utterly ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
team doesn't get distracted by almost anything. I mean, think about it.
Except for when someone gets suspended. And then
I don't think that was a distraction. They just moved on to the, you just said it. Without him, they did just fine.
Right.
So they just moved on to the next thing.
Right. But then you, it's just, you keep giving a guy chances and he keeps disappointing you.
Well, that, now that is, that's addiction. That's addiction.
Yeah, but if it's weed, you can't even get addicted to weed.
Yeah, I think it's a, he's got a, it's a mental health
it's
thing.
It's got to be a mental definitely. Health thing. Yeah.
Joe, if they told you you couldn't smoke for a year, what would you say?
Yeah, I would do it. If it was my job, I absolutely would do it, no doubt. This thing is more of a, listen, I wish the best for Josh Gordon. I really do. But like him getting another chance, bravo. I hope it works out for him. I hope it works out for the Patriots. It's a no-brainer for them to do this at the money and everything.
Right.
Until he gets suspended again. I'm telling you, this is something that will be lingering over him for the rest of his career, and I hope it works out for him.
Yeah,
just
which,
I just think it's
might
another
be forever because who knows when they're not going to allow him to play again. All right, so we'll be right back.
Situations. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You know, you're talking about Josh Gordon and failing tests. And then you have here a man by the name of Joe Murray who enjoys smoking marijuana throughout the day, including in the morning. Have you ever, like, when I worked, it's so dumb that they did this, but when Rich and I worked in Atlanta, they gave you a drug test, but they let you take it whenever you wanted to.
Yeah.
And... like, is there an effective way to, because I know with hair, there's probably not. You'd have to shave your head. But is there a way that you can, what's the best way to get by a pee test?
I don't know. Lots of cranberry juice. Lots and lots of cranberry juice.
So the things that you
can. This is what I've heard.
Okay. I mean, listen, if you wanted to get. You pass the test if you pass the test.
Yeah, but sometimes it comes back diluted and they make you do it again and all that stuff.
Okay, and how long is it supposed to stay in your system?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm over 300 pounds, so 60 to 90 days.
In your pee?
Yeah, 60 to 90 days. 60 to your fat cells. That's the problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
All right.
Yeah, like I know a guy who went to jail, and he was still failing tests after, like, 3 months in jail because he was, like, over 300 pounds.
What do you go to jail for?
I don't know.
Something cool?
I don't know. But just on the Gordon thing, though, I just want to just state this, okay? I'm getting a lot of heat. The Patriots don't need Josh Gordon to win a Super Bowl. That's all I mean by it. That's all I mean. They don't need him. If they have him, is it great? Yes. Until whatever happens. I wish the best for him. I'm just trying to say they don't need him.
All right. I want to know the best way that people have been able to skirt a test.
They sell urine online. Like, yeah. You can get urine.
You can get the Wizinator if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Wizinator the urine bag that you hide?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've seen this thing. It's like you tape it to your leg, and so when you walk in, by all appearances, it looks like you're actually using the bathroom, but it is a tube that is attached to essentially a bag of fake urine, right?
Yes, but now, from what I've heard, is it needs to be a certain temperature. So if you keep it between your leg... That's what makes
sense. That's when you were supposed to do that.
Does the Wizinator, is that really what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Wizinator.
Why not?
Okay. does it keep it at that temperature? I mean, does it actually work? Has anyone passed a test using a Wizinator? Just doesn't seem like there's a million different factors.
Was it Orion Smith? Somebody got in trouble for it.
All right, 617-779-0985. And also, I got flagged. You know when you have kids and you travel, you don't have to go through the thing that takes your naked picture?
Yeah.
So, but my kids got away from me, so I had to go through the thing.
Yeah.
So I still had my belt on, and my wee-wee got touched.
Whoa.
Hey, so they did a pat down?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had my crotch patted too.
Touch my wee-wee.
Yeah, that's kind of par for the course. That's why they always say, male, we need a male, blah, 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 or female to pat down.
That was the second time in like a month that a man had touched my wee-wee. You didn't find that odd?
I just kind of knew they were going to do it.
I didn't know they touched your wiener.
I mean, they didn't like, you know, grab a handful.
No, they didn't do that to me either there.
They just kind of slapped at five.
No, they kind of like a rub.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, see, for me it's kind of like a, they just kind of go down, they pat, and it was just like a little pat in the front
what
there.
What was that noise again? So it was like TB12?
He was like, ugh.
Yeah, I was a little shocked that they touched my wiener. That's all. I was a little shocked. Oh, no, the first time of the month was I paid for it.
Well, maybe you had a Wizinator. Do they like, okay, so
was I the only one that heard? Sorry, I got to stop. It's like, Fred, was I the only one that caught that? Because it went over everybody else's head.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised it's the second time in a month.
This was the only.
No, I heard it. It was obviously.
This was the only time in a month that I didn't have to pay.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Right there, my wiener. Like nobody's business.
Is that another hat? Right there, my wiener. Touch and Rich.
You know, hey. Touch my wiener. What do you think I got in there?
And then
since it was a guy, and I'm so hetero, I was very small. So that's embarrassing.
Do they give you the old Dugan Pat when you're trying to get a drug test? Like if it's something official, I mean, can you get in with a Wizinator, or will they bust you for that? Or they just kind of trust you?
They got to get a guy from TSA. Yeah, they're the only ones who are allowed to do it.
People watch you, too. Like, I've had people watch me.
Really? Test. I want that job.
Oh, really? Just, like, in the room, they stand behind you?
Yeah, they have the door cracked open. And
they can see your wiener?
Well, I don't know about the wiener, but...
Okay, well, a lot of people have ideas.
There's the TV12 clip.
And if you want to throw in the TSA touched your wiener, feel free to throw those in, too.
That can't be fun for them, either. Like, that can't be the best...
Oh, thanks a lot, Dick.
I mean,
it's so terrible to touch Fred Touch's wiener. Oh, boy.